Buried is produced and distributed by KETR.org and is presented uninterrupted thanks to the support of its fans and listeners. Become a supporter today when you visit KETR.org and click donate.
This is George Hale, the host of Buried. One thing we've tried to do in this podcast is give you access to virtually everything we have about Carrie Mae Parker's case, within reason. Show, don't tell, is the idea. That's why we're constantly uploading documents and photos to Facebook and everywhere else, trying to be as transparent as possible about the process and how we do what we do. Luckily, nearly everything we've learned about this case came from people who spoke without any conditions, and very rarely asked to keep things between us. If they agreed to speak to me, it was almost always on the record. Today we're going to release a big piece of the data we've been holding on to for over a year. It's a lengthy version of my conversation with the detective investigating Carrie Parker's disappearance. His name is Jeff Haynes, and we met at his office in July 2017. You've heard a little bit in episode 11, but I think there's lots more that is worth sharing from it. For one thing, I wanted you to know that we didn't spend the whole time talking about how I got a hold of a handful of interview summaries. That was the subject of the last episode, so I wanted to highlight those moments. And I personally believe that's the only reason they wanted to speak to me at that time. But there was still more to the conversation. And even though it wasn't a traditional interview, I was mostly answering questions instead of asking them, we still talked about the case. I also want to share this conversation with you because it's the only lengthy one I've had with law enforcement working on the case. Sergeant Haynes has agreed in principle to speak to me about it sometime in the near future, and I hope that happens. But for now, this is all I've got, which means it's important for you to have, too. I just wish I had more. Another reason I think this is important is because it shows that the sheriff's office was missing some of the most basic information about the case as late as summer 2017. Things like the name of Carrie's brother or where she worked. The sort of crucial information you'd need to start seriously looking for somebody who's disappeared. It also sheds some light on the negative relationship between Haynes and Carrie's sister, Patricia. Haynes wouldn't go into great detail about why he didn't trust her, but it was clear that the two of them feel similarly about one another. I thought that was relevant. A quick note about the audio. We at KETR didn't actually make this recording. I didn't have my usual equipment in the building. We took the audio from footage recorded inside an interrogation room at the Hunt County Sheriff's Office. KETR obtained a copy through an open records request filed under the Texas Public Information Act. So, they made it, not us. Before I hit play, here's how to picture the scene. It's not a large room, smaller than the ones on SCI anyway. When you enter this one, the first thing you see is the side of a desk facing the opposite wall. I was sitting against this opposite wall, and Jeff Haynes is sitting at the desk. Next to Haynes is Lieutenant Roger Seals. He didn't talk much, but just FYI that he was in the room. And to my left was Jim Davenport, who was Constable Cullen Smith's deputy until 2008 when he died. Davenport was the one who brought me there. All right, that's probably enough to get started.
Just be upfront and honest about it. Record all my interviews, especially when they're involving cold cases.
Okay. Yeah.
What was your name, sir?
George Hale. Let me get my card, sir.
Please.
I left you a message.
I was on vacation, and then I was out sick for a couple of days with
feeling better.
For respiratory stuff, so. And then I had about five other calls from media reports and stuff that went on while I was out of town.
Taylor called me last night. He got my number from Margaret Smith.
Who's Margaret Smith?
Cole Smith's wife, widow.
Oh, okay.
Called and him. He called me, and then that's when I immediately called you last night.
All right, Jim says you have a lot of information, and some of it's mine, which I'm curious how you obtained. Now, of course, I don't even know what you got, so the floor is yours, Mr. Hale.
I know that you interviewed Cody Songer in Oklahoma. That was you, right? Jeff Haynes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll start with things I know about you because it's only four interviews. Robert Parker and then Guadalupe Galan and Patricia are the four people that you've interviewed that I have documentation from.
And how did you obtain the documentation since this is an open case and it's restricted?
With total respect, I would just rather not say, but I certainly didn't obtain it by any illegal means or anything like that.
Okay.
It was given to me. That's by someone who's familiar with the case.
Patricia?
Nope. Believe it or not, she gave me almost everything else, including the emails from you, actually, but those were her property.
Yes.
They were her emails. Yeah.
So, Jim said you had some information about a map or...
Which thing?
A map of some where some bodies are buried?
Yeah, that's why I was trying to call you, because I wanted, obviously, you to be the first person to hear about that. I can actually show you better on a phone or something than you have internet on it. Now, I don't know there's a body there. I didn't see a body.
Is it? You need me to go to Google Maps?
Yeah, just look up Waco Bay. I'm sure you know why. Yeah.
Waco Bay's face. Would this be the well allegedly behind her house?
That's why I was there, but that's not where it is.
Because we searched that area with cadaver dogs and came up empty.
Yeah, that's one of the questions I wanted to know. It's so interesting, though, because that guy, Mike Garris, suddenly the police have never been to his house.
Mike Garris, the one who lives across the street from where their old house is?
Yeah.
Older Jones lived there for a while. It's got 10...
Yeah, it's all covered in...
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually spoke with him longer than that, several years ago, when I was first assigned this case. And he actually told me where they lived. He showed me where the where their property was, where it ended, where supposedly three guys come up to the house and he was going to confront their dad, and they went out in the woods, and he was the only one returned. And so
that's the story. That's true, but
yeah, that's Lieutenant. I was on vacation last year, and he had some cadaver dogs down here. On another case, they got done early, so they hit that place where the alleged salvage yard used to be.
So, Cody's Saunders.
Yeah. Where his brother still lives.
It's Jimmy Saunders,
Jimmy
Saunders? Yeah. Is that the place that the automatic gas is, or is it right next door to there?
No.
We're talking about the place across from the water tower in Cleveland?
That's one of them.
That's where I thought he was anyway, but...
Okay. Anyway, so this is Waco Bay. Road or anything?
So, yeah. It's south. It's the same place you went to. The same area you went to. Same area, you know.
Well, you might have a more pinpointed location because all the information we've gotten has been rumors and innuendos.
Well, I don't have a ton more than that, I don't think, but. It's worth telling law enforcement about.
Definitely.
Was my thinking. So you have Howard Parker's property, which was, I didn't weigh in. It's that brown square, right?
Yeah.
And that's the place you searched, or this?
I wasn't here. I was out of town. You remember when I wasn't there?
Because the well story is the one south of the road, not the one north of the road.
South of Waco Bay Loop?
Yeah, see how it's surrounded by this tree? It's, in my opinion, kind of oddly, but no one else seems to agree with me.
When this addition was built back in the 80s, it was supposed to be a retirement area for people coming from the Dallas area and stuff like that. Then the market fell through on homes and stuff, and it ended up being a bunch of dopers and people that kind of took it over over the years.
Like, yeah.
And it's always been, it's kind of maintained that over the years. Y'all been here your whole lives, so correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah.
But that's been my research on it. So I found that when things are kind of an anomaly like this, nothing really surprises me when I get down here because you never know.
I was looking for Mike Garris. That's the thing. Huh. And I can give you his number, and this is important because...
Mike Garris?
Yeah. His father, they called him Shorty, but I think his name is also Mike. In fact, I think Mike is both of their middle names.
Right,
anyway,
right.
He's the one who supposedly helped hide the body or whatever, you know?
Shorty. What body?
The one that you just talked about, the one where
the drug dealers or
the ones
Harry?
Who came over that not Harry, sorry, yeah, the ones who came over looking for her, whatever, looking for him.
And supposedly it's out here in this area.
I didn't see him, but you know.
Yeah, so, no, I understand. But we have access to cadaver dogs now, because of the SART team that we work with.
That's great, yeah.
So
I went to Mike Garris's house to ask him about that story from back when, you know. And he told me that, well, he wasn't aware of any body on his property. He knew where there was a body in the woods, just around there. And he said he could take me to it, show me. He tried to. But he didn't find it. And he seemed surprised. Now, I don't know if this is he's a crazy person making up a story, but...
So what was the other case?
Well, I don't know, of course, but I never even heard of it. But Patricia, when I called her and told her about this, she came up and met Mike Garris. And when she met him the second time, he told her they thought it was about 13 years ago, which is a specific time frame that he hadn't told me. And but he said that in my presence, though. And that made the gears in Patricia's head turn, and she remembered Sarah Kinslow, because do you remember who she is?
Yeah. That no, was before my time.
No, 2001.
No.
It's not your case, though. It's
Bramble PD case.
Oh, there was a case when the canines were out.
Exactly, yeah.
They were working on Sarah's case. They were working, okay. That's what they were here for, yeah. Then. Okay. So, I'm looking out.
Right.
Whatever it was they got done, and anyway, they went and
searched those areas. Patricia basically said, you know, so she said, we need to tell Sarah's parents that this guy Mike said he saw a body in the same area where she was last seen. Maybe not last seen, but seen one of the last times, you know. So mm-hmm. Sarah's mom pointed out on a map where she'd always suspected that she had been. And it was supposedly the grandparents of her ex-boyfriend's house or property. Anyway, it was one of the three places that Mike Garris took me looking for the body. It seems like either an enormous coincidence or there's something that you guys should know about that.
Hmm. That's peculiar.
Yeah.
Did you ever say why you didn't call law enforcement?
Yeah, Patricia had a few choice words. I'm sure you've heard some of them from her before, mm-hmm. but she had them for him too. You know, she said, what's wrong with you? Why would you not share something like that with the police? And, you know, he said, it would have been 5 hours of questions about something I had nothing to do with, and nothing would have come of it anyway, I think is what he said.
So you have my notes from my interview from Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably understand why.
Oh, I understand. I spent many hours with Patricia. I understand why a lot of people have a really hard time, you know, communicating.
No, but if you read my summary, then you understand my skepticism on things that she says.
Because, well, no, I don't actually. Because, why? She said that, you're talking about the her memory about her father and stuff?
Lots of things.
I don't have your case file or anything like that. I have some notes. You know.
Jim told me you had the report that I filed on Patricia when I did my interview with Patricia.
I don't know what you actually call it in your terminology, but I'd be happy to show you.
Supplement report.
Okay, I think that was what it said. Yeah, it mentioned like.
Do you mind if I see it?
I would show it to you, but I don't have it on me. I think it's in my home in Dallas, but otherwise, I'd be happy to just piece of paper.
Do you have the other supplement about Cody Songer?
No, I have four of them that are with me. All I have with me is my letters that are to other people.
Okay.
But like I said, like I told him, that this information isn't because I have some antagonistic relationship. I'd be happy to hand it to you.
No, I'm not taking it that way. Please understand. I'm not taking it that way. Yes, there is some differences of opinion.
Oh, between you two, yeah.
Between Patricia and I. That's why case files are typically confidential, so it doesn't compromise the integrity of an investigation, right. Especially in a cold case as you go along. Because if that stuff was to be made public, then that would lose.
Right.
If you're a card player, I'm losing my trump card.
I understand that, yeah. No, and, like,
and especially with my interview with Cody Songer.
Yeah.
I had a lengthy interview, working with local law enforcement there that know him and spending several hours waiting for him to get off work. And talking to some people.
Yeah, no, it's...
Chit-chatting, and so I kind of had a good feel for what he was like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not done with Cody Songer by no means.
I don't know why.
Do I have anything that could actually put him, you know, with a body or a crime? No, not right now.
I mean, I was just telling him the more I learned about Cody, the harder it is for me to believe that he could get away with something like that. It's just...
You and I are of similar opinions.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy got caught so many times up in that little town. I can't even think of the little town he lives in.
Tishomingo.
Thank you, Tishomingo. Yeah. The three cops. Literally, there's only three cops.
Yeah.
You know, they caught him so many times, and even on a first name basis as trustee, that the county sheriff up there would just let him, and even the Indian Nations law enforcement, because that's part of the tribal communities up there. They all knew Cody. I talked to a couple of tribal officers just in passing, and then they just rolled their eyes and kept going. So
that's sort of...
Basically, kind of what they told me is that no matter what he does wrong, he always gets caught. I agree with your perception that I don't know if he was smart enough to pull something like this off and get away with it after all these years.
Yeah.
Now, could he have known somebody back in those days?
Well, that's what I was telling him, is that a lot of people I've talked to say third hand, fourth hand. I wish I could tell you. Someone told me directly that's not true. Well, one person that they see.
I'm willing to have a dialogue. So whatever you're hearing, hearing, I'm willing. I'm all ears.
Yeah, no, I'm.
I mean, it's like 22 years for this case to get reported.
Like, look, I told him we're open. You know,
yeah, share with him anything and everything you told me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Jim and I go way back, so that's why he called
me. Margaret Smith told me he's one of the good guys, and, you know.
I wouldn't go that far. But,
so
yeah, I've known Jeff for years and years and years. I've known Lieutenant a whole lot longer than that.
Yeah.
So, Roger actually trained me in CID. I'm in internal affairs, co-case, and social media. This is what I do now.
If there's any two people in the world you can talk to, it's these two guys.
Sure. I mean, yeah. My opinion myself is that, like, this the secrecy about all of this that's hurting the case, you know. No, I don't mean your case file, obviously. I'm sure that's secret for a reason. But I mean, all these people who won't talk about it, you know. I can make a list of them. And so we're, of course, open to sharing whatever you want.
So I don't even know where I would begin. There's the...
what do you not know? I'm trying to think, like...
Well, just tell me what you know, and I'll tell you if I know it already.
Yeah.
Because you may have heard something a little different than what Roger and I have heard.
I think that I have, and actually one of the reasons that while it is awkward to bring up having things that you have that you don't want me to have, I think that there might be some things that are mistaken in it. Either because you wrote it that way on purpose or like that is just interesting. And one of them, I'll give you an example.
Mr. Let me kind of explain why I want you to tell me as much as you can.
Sure.
Okay. When I first got this case, they kept telling me there was an O'Quinlan cop that could solve this, that he was in the hospital, go find him. HIPAA laws aren't going to let me find a patient unless they tell me what hospital.
Right.
Nobody would tell me what hospital. They told me he was home.
Who retired? Ronnie Fox?
No.
Oh, Howard?
I found out he was home on hospice. 16 hours later, he was dead from cancer.
Sorry, who is this? Sir?
It was a Quinlan officer.
I think Ronnie Faust probably is.
Was it Faust?
Dying of cancer.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, 16 hours later, I find out at night. I go to the next morning, I find out he was dead.
Yeah, I understand.
It's been a lot of misinformation and a lot of misdirection and a lot of rumors and innuendos.
Yeah.
So when Jim said, tell him everything you know, I'm all ears.
Sure.
I'm the only person that, in my mind, that has been very forthcoming and articulable that is Cody Zahmer, and that's pretty sad because he was my primary person of interest.
Yeah.
You know, that's the person that I've got the most information out of.
Yeah.
With the exception of my interview with Patricia Gager.
Yeah.
And ever since that interview, she will not cooperate.
Yeah. She's not cool with the hypnosis thing, I understand.
It was a lot of other things, but that's
what I was sad, yeah.
And that's just a tool. I wasn't even going to do it. It was a Lieutenant Dexter Ranger that's highly recognized across the state for that. And it's just a tool to explain what that is. It's just a tool for memory recollection.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
It may work, it may not. It's like running a license plate on a computer. So please don't be hesitant and don't be intimidated or anything. I get the lieutenant in here because he's over CID.
Yeah,
so
sure.
So he involves the cases. Yeah, I want his opinion on things.
Yeah, the more
and
like, he has.
We're really not. We don't have any reason to keep any of this. Like, we don't even really have confidential sources.
Well, you got a confidential source somewhere if you got my case file on an open case.
I have your case file. I just told him the one and only thing I don't want to talk about is where I got four things from Mr. Haynes. But other than that, that's on all. You know.
I'm not offended by it, because honestly, I stand by my reports, because my reports are what I interview and what I see and what I learn.
Yeah.
So all my reports can be backed up on videos.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So
I really wish I had that.
I'm just kind of curious where our leak is, and you know, and especially on a case that's as high profile as this, that and I respect your position as a reporter and your First Amendment rights.
Right.
I fully get that,
yeah.
And I respect that. But let's get back to some of the things, you know.
Because that is the only thing I don't want to talk about. Otherwise, I'm Let's do it. So...
What other information do you have about the Kerry Parker case?
Yeah, so... I'm trying to think, because I was telling you, you didn't know anything, so...
You called me last... You called, bringing everything up fresh and above board. Gentleman called me last night just before I called you, and right. He already talked to Cullen's wife, Margaret, mm-hmm. and he's obtained a stack of full paperwork from yeah. Cullen's old files, old personal files.
Yeah.
That supposedly were lost and couldn't be found?
Well, mm-hmm. whatever. That Cullen kept a lot of stuff, even when I worked for him, kept stuff close to the vest. He only released bits and pieces. And just before he passed, he related cases, bits and pieces of this case that he was the Kerry's case that he was working on. Not all of it, but bits and pieces of it. And he did have a file that I saw one day that he opened and showed and closed it back up. I didn't see all the details. We're trying to accumulate. This is just shortly before he passed, October of 2008.
Right.
So whether that information is in the office, was there a file in that office? I don't know.
No, we had talked about once before about you trying to get the files and stuff, and yep. then you came up empty-handed after you spoke with Mrs. Smith.
Well, this is
she didn't know they were there,
and he's going. He has a hotel trailer on the place that he keeps all kinds of stuff in.
Yeah,
and
okay. She thought they were gone too. I'm sure she was being honest.
It was no, I wasn't saying she was lying. I just
thought
she was throwing away or something.
She doesn't know. She realized she had.
That's what happened. Yeah,
because.
I figured they got lost to weather or they were stored out in a shed or something and got destroyed.
Well, he has related to me and showed me the back of his Jeep, which is out here in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Stacks and stacks and stacks of documents he recovered from that storage room. He doesn't even know what all he has. Right. And I don't know if he even looked at it yet.
So, I mean, the stuff I took was stuff that wasn't wrestling magazines, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with the intention of copying it and making it available to anyone who needs it, within reason.
I'd be real interested in anything you've got on Kerry Parker.
If I see a single word of it, you'll be the first to know, but I haven't.
I mean, honestly, yeah. I really, really would.
No, I, yeah.
Because this case is probably one of the most, well, it is the most frustrating case I've ever worked.
It is an unbelievable story, but...
You have no idea. I mean, it was in Roger's lap at one time, I think, mm-hmm. and he's reviewed most, well, all my reports, so he understands the frustration.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I want is to... find Kerry.
Yeah.
And there may very well be something buried in those files that he has that he will not recognize that right. you or Roger or myself might click onto. I mean, he hasn't even reviewed yet.
Right. So, and I have no problem sharing that.
I haven't seen what he has. But when I called you a few minutes ago, we were en route to his assistant's place to yeah. spread out and look at it.
You know Colin's report's better than I would. So, you've got my number.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I definitely won't get rid of anything or anything like that, you know? Yeah. You guys have any access?
Y'all know that for years, anytime you involved, first thing I do is call you because I don't want to step on your toes and mess up what y'all are working on.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that's one of the things of having a good working relationship we've always had. So, what other stories have you heard about as far as what happened to Kerry or working with that?
So, okay. There's something important that I don't think... There's Janice Height. You ever heard that name?
Yes.
Cody's ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
Longview. She...
Haven't been able to find her. Longview has come up empty.
I have her number. I can give it to you.
That'd be great. I couldn't even get a phone number out of Cody. He didn't remember if he'd married now.
Hers?
For Janice's.
Yeah, they don't get along real well, but I bet he has it.
I gathered that talking to him.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, so she's not a big fan, but... Sweet lady, I thought. I don't know.
Yeah, I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, sure.
Good. So the information I had on Cody Sommer, when I ran him through our intelligence files, I came up with 30 different Cody Sommers.
His real name's William.
Five in Texas.
His real name's William. I know that. William Cody Sommer.
Yeah, William Cody Sommer.
But you probably figured that.
Yeah. So I ran him one more time.
Yeah.
And I got a hit out of Tishomingo, and I called their PD. Yeah.
Good for you, because that's what it is.
And I was like, hey, this is a strong strike, because Longview had never heard of him. And when I talked to them...
He's been arrested there, though, I think.
Yeah, I know. But, probably before some of the officers' times.
Right.
Anyway, when I tracked him down, I went and spoke to the sheriff, and he goes, where do you want to go? And I'm like, tomorrow morning?
Yeah. I was wondering how that exactly works. Do you just fly to Oklahoma and then just hope for the best? Oh, you drove? Yeah.
19-hour day.
Good Lord. And you came right back after?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't interview him. Trust me, there was no place to stay in Tishomingo.
I wanted the audio of your recording, but he told me that you took it. Mm-hmm. They destroyed their version. And,
evidence.
Yeah. Anyway, I just really, you know, I really want for the radio is that part where he says, I know exactly what you're here for. You're here about Carrie Parker. But how can that not be on the radio? Yeah, I talked to Janice. She told me that... One thing she told me, though, actually, that I thought was important, she said that she'd never seen Cody act violent at all. And she told me that she had provoked him in ways that you would expect someone to react violently, or at least in her world, and that he didn't. And I found that interesting. But that said, she... told me that she thinks he probably knows something about this stuff. Glenn Parker, Carrie's brother. Mm-hmm. You ever speak to him before? I don't know.
Honestly, I didn't know she had a brother. But yeah, go ahead.
There you go. Glenn is interesting. Every encounter I've had with him, he's been perfectly nice and seemingly normal, you know. Maybe a little excitable, but like a normal, serious person, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think he'd be worth talking to. And one of the things he said is...
You have a way to get hold of him?
Yeah, sure, I have a number. He's the one who introduced me to Mike Garris, actually. He lives right around there.
He still lives in Waco Bay?
Yeah.
I was told the whole family left that area.
Who, Glenn?
All the Parkers. Everybody in that family left that area, like, decades ago. I didn't know Carrie Parker had another sister until somebody said something on the Facebook page, and I drove up to Grayson County and interviewed her.
Mary Shelby? Mm-hmm. Is that it? Yeah. I've never met her, but I'd like to.
She has some interesting things to say.
I bet. Before I get ahead of myself, Glenn told me that he didn't suspect Cody was involved for years. Mm-hmm. Somehow. I don't know how. But and he said that they worked together a little bit. They hung out together and stuff. And I'm trying to remember if it's in your thing or not, but they were living near each other or next to each other or something. I think Cody mentioned this to you. And it was something like... a few years after she went missing, that Glenn told me that a guy named Todd Langford came to visit. Have you ever heard that name? Well, I know you have, actually, but sorry. But Cody's friend and Carrie's friend, I think, is a guy named Todd Langford. And he came over to Glenn's house and asked about Carrie or something. And Glenn told me that... Cody came out of his house, or his, wherever he's staying nearby, screaming his head off, like going crazy, about Todd having brought it up. And he said, you know, don't talk about her. The only person who knows what happened to her is Jim, and he's dead. And that's what Glenn says. He thought that was just the weirdest thing ever, because how would Cody know that? You know, how did Cody know that Jim...
That's news to me. I've never heard that before.
This is just what Glenn says, so... and get that double check with Glenn, but I think that's pretty much exactly what he told me. And I think Glenn said it was from that moment forward he started wondering about Cody, you know? Because why would he react that way? You know, what does that even mean exactly? You know? But anyway. So there's that. Glenn also told me that he overheard like enormously loud fights with Cody and his girlfriend or whoever was with him too, and that was another thing that kind of made him start suspecting Cody. But anyway.
You mean between the girlfriends?
I don't know their who it was, one of them.
Whoever he was at the time.
Yeah, he heard really crazy things. They were kind of like, who's this guy, you know?
That's sorry. Something I hadn't heard before, so.
Okay,
I hadn't
that's
heard
good.
Glenn Parker's name before either, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, make sure you know all the siblings, but I think that you got them now, Mary, Patricia, and Glenn, and then Carrie. She has three children, Brian, Brandy, Mandy.
The only reason I haven't interviewed the children is because I do not want to re-traumatize somebody that can't tell me anything about a case.
That's true, that they don't. Well, here's the thing. It depends on how crazy you believe Howard is or how serious he is. I think
Howard, the grandfather?
Yeah.
Or Perry's dad.
Yeah, because if you think that he's a serious person and he says true things, I think you should definitely talk to the children because they remember all the things he told them, you know. But they're kind of out there. Like, they're like the killing the guy and burying him in a well, right? That story. That comes not from Patricia. That comes from Brian and Brandy, I think. They heard it from, I think, she heard it from, I think, them or from Glenn or whatever. But, you know, as you know, Patricia does not have the best relationship or did not have a fantastic relationship with her own father either.
And did you find out when Carrie got married?
To Guadalupe Galan? Mm-hmm. She would have been young, right? 16.
And did you find out when she had her kid?
He's born in 85. Brian, you mean? Or is there another one?
Well, she had a kid, rather. She married Guadalupe.
Yeah, I've asked about that, but I don't really know. But Guadalupe's son is Brian, right?
I believe so.
That's what he says, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He was interviewed by the investigator that had this case before me, so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Joel and Technical Ranger Simmons talked to him, right?
Who?
I thought it was documented in there. I don't know. See, somebody's too busy trying to throw me under the bus to give you my reports and I'll give you the full case file.
Well,
to be honest with you, there's not much to the case file.
I assume,
it took them 22 years to report her missing.
Well,
that's the first issue.
That's one of the things
that... There may be in Cohen's notes.
Yeah.
But there may very well be a...
But then why didn't Cohen put her in the database, TCS and NCS, as a missing person?
That didn't necessarily all exist at that time. And there again, Cohen kept everything close to the vest, and it may have been, he said, she said, just make an information report that never got passed down the line. I don't know. That's what I'm interested to see what he has.
Yeah.
Oh, caveat there, then I'll...
No, and also you should talk to Glenn about that, too, because Glenn says he remembers that Cullen one time asked him to get in his car and go drive over to the Songer property with him. And Glenn told me he refused because he didn't want to be seen with a police officer. Glenn was not a model citizen at the time, but he's...
Nobody was down there at that time.
Yeah.
I had family that lived down there.
Well,
is there anything you can think of? I mean, a lot of this is...
No, not really.
I mean, with the only caveat of whatever's in those files... I mean,
yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I was the one that met with Patricia when she came up here, mm-hmm. back her home. And my first question was, how long ago was this gun?
Yeah, it's a question I had for her as well, of course. Yeah,
and I think she told me that they had reported it to Kaufman.
It's Terrell.
Terrell.
Terrell PD.
Yeah.
And then went back later on to check, and I said, no.
Yeah.
We didn't make a report. We got a report to Hunt County. So then that's when she made the report to Hunt County, which was to Cullen. And
possibly.
I have a record of showing that Patricia did go there in July 1991 from Terrell, showing that she went there to report Carrie missing. But it was written in as a welfare check.
And
not otherwise processed. Or I don't know how that works, but apparently just put in a file, you know. But it's clear that, now, they might not be on the search that my family put on, but they still did something. They didn't just decide 19 years later to call up the, you know what I mean, to call the, because I think it was 19 years later, they called, Brandy called in 2010 and found out there was no missing person report at all.
What was it you were telling me earlier, it's in my notes, but... Refresh my memory for these gentlemen.
Yeah, of course.
You said,
especially if I forgot something,
when she turned up missing from North of there in Terrell, and what was the information about three other girls turning up missing from the same place?
So the person who introduced Carrie and Cody is a guy named Ricky Moreland. I don't know if you ever heard that name. He's alive. He won't speak to me, but he'll speak to Patricia, including when I was with Patricia once. It was really stupid. I was with her...
Nice to have had that information so I could talk to him.
It's new. It's brand new. Because I met Patricia twice, and the second time I met her was when she went up there to meet Mike Garris again, just 2 or 3 weeks ago only. And I tried to reach Ricky Moreland because I wanted to ask him about various things, but he wouldn't speak to me. But Patricia got on the phone and said, we need to speak to him. He's a reporter, and he's really trying to help, and... He said, oh, I don't have any information. I can't help you. Wish I could, you know, and went like this. Anyway, this guy, on the phone during that call, which is on speakerphone, so I heard it too, he said, you know, that he loved Carrie, and he tried to find her after she went missing, and he looked all around and stuff, and that he went to that factory in Terrell where she was, Flanders Precision Air, you know. And this was news to Patricia and news to me as well, that two other people went missing, if they really did, from the same place at the same time.
What year was that?
But it would have been...
The same time that year Carrie went missing?
I'm assuming, yeah. Because he was there looking for her. So.
And they went missing from the factory?
For a long time, people thought that the last place that Carrie ever went was her night shift on that, in that factory. I think that's where the March 17 date comes from.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
I was going to say that, but a lot of people thought that that was the last place she was seen, the night shift at Flanders Precision Air. Is that what you wanted me to repeat?
Yeah.
Why is that shocking?
I have never heard that.
You ever heard of the...
In the years I've had this case, no one has ever told me where she's worked. No one has ever told me that was the last place they seen her. And I was actually told that one of the family members actually seen Carrie and her dad leaving the trailer house the day she went missing.
Huh. That's not what I heard, so...
Exactly.
Good, we're talking.
I didn't even know Carrie had a job. I thought she worked at a fast food restaurant in Cleveland. Never have I heard that this was she was seen at the last... Have you looked at it?
March 17th. I think that's where the date comes from.
That.
It was her night shift there.
March 17th, 91?
91, yeah. And it was St. Patrick's Day, I think. Just randomly. It was a Sunday. I don't know why she worked on a Sunday, but I've asked Patricia this. She said that, yeah, she worked on the weekends.
What kind of factory? Landon's what?
Flanders.
Flanders.
Yeah. They made filters of some kind there.
I'm sure it's not there anymore.
Well, I went there. They, the building's there, but they're not the same company. However, the workers are the same, they say. So I was shocked when I heard that. The lady said, why don't you just ask people around here about it? Like, well, I assume they're different. No, like, the lady said, you know, my mom works here now and worked here then and whatever. So I stupidly didn't bring a picture of her or anything, so I didn't really have anything to offer. But, yeah, it seems like it was worthwhile. That's the reason that, I think that's the reason Patricia filed the report in Terrell, because she thought she was last seen in Terrell. So
she didn't tell me that.
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
She told me that the last place she seen, Carrie was seen, was in Waco Bay or in Quinlan.
I don't know, unless she's established this, like, more recently, but I don't think so, because...
It wasn't in my interview. It should have been in my report that you have.
I don't know.
But it was right on the border, the place where they hung out. It was right on the county line. And they didn't know if it was Hunt or Kaufman County. And that's why they went to Terrell.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know the actual reason. I know that they're from Terrell, too, aren't they?
I'm just telling you this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show you that these are the discrepancies that I've constantly gotten. And, again, this, I've never heard the factory story.
So it's a different factory now. I know the address, by the way. It's 100 FM 148. And I've never heard of them, and I don't think anyone else has.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Have either of y'all?
Mm-hmm. Ricky said something like maybe it's because they were illegal or something. I don't know. That would be so... Yeah.
Well, that would definitely put a whole new spin on things.
Yeah, no kidding.
George, you've gone from... I'm just paraphrasing what we talked about.
Sure.
And now it's... we've come to this where she was last possibly seen at work.
Right.
At Flanders.
Yeah.
So you're getting as many discrepancies as I'm getting.
Yeah, but I'm not suggesting that is where she's actually last seen.
I know. I'm just...
Yeah.
It's just one more story that's come up. That, you know, which, you know, we have to track down to see if there's any validity to it.
Sure.
Obviously. And if there's people there that may still know her, then...
Exactly. And I think there are. You know.
I definitely am. I'm interested in going to that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Lieutenant, do you have anything?
Jeff, I'm going to throw a few things that he mentioned to me that may or may not mean anything to you, may spur some, another line of question. Of course, there's a Parker family, Bill Smelly's family. That y'all already been interviewed, Rooster, the door side,
Rooster what?
We don't know.
And you found it in the records for the state judicial conduct?
I thought maybe it might be the real name.
Cody mentioned a guy named Rooster, but he didn't have much information on him, just said that they called him Rooster.
He knows that he was, or Hershey knows, Hershey Barnett I talked to this morning. You know him?
No, yeah.
Yeah. He told me that Rooster was the head of the Dorside gang, and that he even knew where his house was.
Never heard of the Dorside gang.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never heard of the Dorside
gang? Oh, yeah. You ain't been around here long.
15 years in Cossack.
You've been around here since you're all dance.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of different Roosters that we deal with. I think one of them got killed.
Wouldn't that, no, that was a general.
She might have said that.
Yelled in his front yard. General Bug?
Oh, General Pitt. Yeah.
Probably Calvin Coolidge Caps was involved that much, too. CCC, Calvin Coolidge Caps. I'll relate that to you here in a little bit.
Where was that?
Cactus, Latin, Indian, dark complexion.
Cody mentioned an Indian guy that used to hang out with him, I believe.
Yeah.
But he couldn't remember much information about him.
And you said this was a female? A cactus?
Unfortunately, I only know it from what he wrote. So he's not going to get any information from me.
Well, then it's a certain conversation.
I want to know who she is, though, because she's a...
You want to have both?
Yeah, she was dancing with Cody, and Cody said he was going to sleep with her, I think. Actually, you know what? I know that not only from you. I know that from the recording of the call. Did you know that Brian called Cody once? You know that, because, yeah. Do you have that? Because if you wanted to have that. Mm. It's terrible quality, but I'll email it to you if you want.
And there's two cars involved, a Buick Skylark and a Camaro.
The Camaro he got from my report.
No, that's not true. Everyone knows about the Camaro. Like, everyone talks about it, like, as if it was her last car. And I...
According to Cody, when he was in the penitentiary, she saved up and got that car.
The Camaro? Or the Buick?
No, the Camaro.
Because, yeah, because, like, if you ask Patricia... She'll say that, and it's written like on the missing posters and stuff, that there's a Buick Skylark that she was last seen in. And everyone else seems to remember Camaro instead. But there's a reason for the Buick. And actually, you probably should know about this too. There's something else. The Buick she bought from, this is according to Patricia and Brandy actually, that when she went missing, she was driving a Buick, not a Camaro, as a lot of people assume. It's Camaro.
So did you ever hear whatever happened to the Camaro?
No, I'd love to know because people have said that it's, well, I don't know. I think that it was sold or something. I'm not sure. I don't know what, when they say the blank car was found somewhere, I don't know which car they're referring to ever, you know. I'm sure you have the same problem.
So she drove the Camaro and then got the Buick?
The other way around, I think. Everyone remembers the Camaro because she drove it almost to the point where she disappeared.
She had the last car she was seen in, according to Cody Sommer.
Yeah. But it's not, but, so.
She got rid of the Buick to get the Camaro.
No, I think it's the other way around. Because everyone remembers the Camaro, and it's because she didn't have the Buick until the last minute. Like, she didn't have it until, like, January 91 or something. This is what, like, Patricia told me. Yeah. So, like, because at first when I saw that, like, Cody was claiming the Camaro, and I think he said it to Brian, too, I thought, like, well, he must be lying, you know. But then I saw, when I talked to Brandy, and she said, you know, the crazy thing is I remember that, too. I remember a Camaro, not a Buick. And that's what got down the whole line of questions about the what car it was. So anyway,
we're missing two cars.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Do you know about the prisoner Stacy? Patty, I think probably mentioned this to you on it.
That sounds familiar.
So this is another thing to talk to Glenn about, I guess. Glenn said that picked up a hitchhiker, Mr. Inquinlan, and. And they made a connection about who each other were or whatever. She said that she used to know Carrie. And Glenn said, you know, that they never found her or whatever. And she said, well, I'll show you where she is right now if you want to see. And they drove by the Sonner property. She pointed. She said, I know where her sister is. She's right there. Pointed at that. There's like kind of a mound of dirt there. The place. And Glenn thought, well, that's insane, obviously. And he,
What was her name again?
I believe it was Stacy. Anything I don't remember, I'm more than happy to check and get back to you on. But I think it's Stacy anyway. She's right now in the Kaufman jail, by the way, so convenient for you if you're interested. But as I tried to get in touch with her. She was in prison, though, before, in, like, 2012. Patricia found her, and she wrote her letter saying, like, very detective-like, actually. I think you would have appreciated it. So it didn't really... It didn't divulge any information. You know, it said sort of like, I heard that you once had a conversation with somebody about Carrie Parker or something, you know. And she wrote back and said, like, yeah, wasn't that your brother I was talking to? You know, and like, and I took him to that place. And she even drew a map and stuff, too. But and she was Cody's ex-girlfriend. And in fact, she described herself as his ex-fiance. And I have all those letters, too, by the way.
And Cody got around.
Right. Cody and Carrie both.
You mentioned the Billy Gibbons.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I almost forgot to tell you, too.
You're familiar with Gibbons.
I know the name. Go ahead and tell me what you know.
Well, yeah, you probably know it from this horrifying crime he's in jail for, but Janice told me about him. Janice knows him. In Oklahoma, let me try to remember the first reference. There's two letters. One to Janice and then one to me. The one to Janice is from 2015, I think, and it says that... he remembered seeing Cody, him and Cody knew each other, sorry, in Oklahoma. He was on the run from here, I think. for whatever reason. And he said that Cody had told him he was a person of interest. I'm trying my hardest not to merge these two letters. One's to Janice, one's to me, but they both had the same expression in them, which is that Cody said, in reference to Carrie, no body, no crime. This is what... So, you're welcome to see that. It's just a...
What's he in a penitentiary for?
I'm not sure if he's in for it right now, but he was in jail for many, many years for raping an elderly woman, I think. Which he apparently denies. That's why Janice likes him, because she believes he's innocent.
Where is he now? Where is he incarcerated now?
Iowa Park.
Where?
Iowa Park, near Wichita Falls.
Oh, okay.
I offered,
what's his first name? Gibbons?
His last name is Gibbons, yeah.
First name?
Billy. It's at least what the address is. I can give you his inmate number, too, later. I offered to meet with him next month. I want to say the 13th or 14th. It's one day I'm going to be up there.
We first met over here at the cafe until some lawyers walked in. We wandered over to the hospital and used the chapel. Nobody's in the chapel. It was nice and quiet. So we visited for several hours over there.
Yeah.
These people were threatening Howard's family.
Yeah, you know that story, right? You mentioned it when we first came in, I think.
Yeah.
So,
alleged drug dealers.
Yeah, you know, he thought they were threatening his family, and
then you said Ricky Moreland introduced Carrie and Cody.
Yeah. So, but also, according to Glenn's version of Howard's story about that, you know, he said that he never really understood it because his dad mentioned Ricky Moreland as being one of the people he killed. So Ricky Moreland's alive. So, you know, he sort of discounted the story for that reason, but.
You speculated when we talked about that. You speculated that he may have killed somebody else and just assumed it was Ricky Moore who killed.
If he did, I mean, you guys deal with this stuff. I don't know if these things are even plausible, but to me, it sounded crazy. But he said that Ricky went there with some guys. Is that the story you heard? I think that he threatened him or threatened his grandfather.
I never heard names. I was just told there were some people from the cartel or a drug gang or something went to confront Howard. They went off in the woods, and Howard was the only one that came back.
Yeah, something like that, right. So according to Glenn, that story is the same, except for one of the people's names is Ricky Moreland. But Glenn had said, I think the reason I heard this is because Glenn was explaining to Mike why he had never, like, pursued this question with him, even though they're friends, you know, about bodies buried in his property. And that was sort of Glenn's answer was, well, one of the people he supposedly killed is alive and well, so I just kind of...
Yeah, then make a hard argument for saying he was dead.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing, though, is Patricia reached Ricky within the last, I don't know how long, 2 years maybe or something, and asked him about what he did after Carrie went missing, and she says that he said that he went to her house, confronted her dad, because he thought that dad had something to do with it, I think, is what she said. You might want to double check, but something to that extent. So she, to her, it was like, oh, and then she also said that he said we, not him, no, himself.
And who said all this?
Ricky. Hmm. And so then, you know, I heard Ricky tell sort of the same story again, but different, in my presence in the car. He said that he went there looking for her, but he didn't confront Howard or anything like that. But anyway, Patricia's whole thing is, how is only half of that story going to be true? You know, she's heard it from her dad and from him, but different. Just weird, right? Like, it's like they're both confirming little bits of it.
Just a little bit that they want you to know, or that they remember. Who knows?
I never met Howard. I don't understand.
Howard's dead.
I know, yeah. Thing that you would want to...
Is there anyone, anywhere, in all of your interviews and all of your background or all your work, that has ever told you specifically where Carrie Parker might be buried? Or what happened to her body, other than the Spicer chick telling somebody else?
Glenn, and she told Glenn and Patricia. Jackie Page told me that Robert told her. No, I don't have first-hand information. I wish I did. Mike Garris told me about the body, but unrelated to Carrie.
My biggest issue, George, with all due respect, and I told you how I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate that, is where's our information getting leaked from?
Yeah.
And why is the integrity of the case been compromised?
Yeah, I understand.
Because if that information was to get out, then I can't tell you what to report.
No.
I'm not going to. I'm not even going to pretend. But if that information was to get out, it could compromise.
Right.
several persons of interest in this sure. case.
Yeah, you should definitely know that you were going to get those back from me anyway, whether he told you or not, because we're not going to publish anything without at least running it past you, if it's sensitive, you know. So I would definitely...
It would almost sound like a jerk, but if you did, it would be illegal because it's case-sensitive file and evidentiary.
Right.
But I'm not going to... I don't want to go down that road. It's just...
Whether it's illegal or not.
I've got to worry about...
Yeah.
That's debatable. That's for attorneys and people
right.
like that to argue down the road and
yeah.
get makes more money than I do, but...
yeah.
We also had a discussion, and you relate to... Officer Haynes, what we talked about as far as I was picking your brain for info.
Yeah.
I tried not to confirm or deny anything that you might have had.
That's true.
And there's quite a few things you brought to my knowledge and to Officer Haynes also and the lieutenant. As I told, first phone call I made was to Jeff, not to compromise his case.
Yeah. Mm.
And I don't know what information I have that he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring in that note
yeah,
that you
sure.
had with
us? The folder with all the...
Yeah.
These are the requests for information I made.
There's pages and pages and pages just of folks he's talked to.
I mean, no, these are just institutions. Mm-hmm. These are just police, you know.
How did you get on this case? If I may ask?
An email came to our office first before I even worked there.
Who?
An email.
An email.
Yeah, from the daughter of Bill Smelly. But unrelated to Carrie. It was, interestingly, it mentioned her, but it wasn't about that. It was about her father. Sorry, Bill Smelly's an officer who was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
He was in the academy with me.
Yeah. Like a missing woman's children are buried in their car somewhere, and she's disappeared.
Heard that story.
Yeah. Maybe there's other children, but three, I've met two of the three, and they're alive and well.
Yeah, it's supposedly Carrie and her kids are buried in the car in the Songer property.
Yeah.
By a backhoe on the back end of the property. That was the first story that came up when Joel had it.
Yeah.
That's weird because didn't Brandy submit that in the first place?
Sir?
Didn't Brandy submit the thing in the first place in 2010? One of the kids, that would have been in the car.
It's Patricia.
Oh, I don't know. I just saw...
Yeah, somebody with her.
Patricia
yeah,
told
I wasn't
me...
there. I didn't have the case at first. It was
yeah.
assigned to a
Joel
investigator, Joel Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was assigned to me as a cold case.
I think I took the report, didn't
you? I think so. Was it you or Joel, or both of y'all?
I think I took it, and I thought it was Joel.
I was just curious how you came about it.
Yeah.
After all this time.
Yeah.
That's trying to get people to talk to me has been frustrating. And
I can imagine.
Either I find out where they're at right before they die, or they disappear, or they go off the grid.
I mean,
every single time.
I was telling him that I don't think it's any coincidence that virtually everything I've heard is about something a dead person said or did, because it seems like once they die, then people open
there
up.
There you go. The exact same thing you and I talked about 6 months ago when I went up and talked to Cody Sumner. I mean, he was the only live person that I could find. I was surprised that I had the right Cody Sumner, to be honest with you, because I was told he was in West Texas. I was told
yeah.
he was in East Texas. Told he was in Oklahoma. And it was just a fluke that I ran into our intelligence file and come up with this and called up, and I got one of the young guys. And I'm like, Cody? Yeah, he just got out of jail yesterday. What was he in jail for? Oh, he's the worst thief you've ever met. Okay, where does he live? Block over from police department. Not too smart if you're going to be a thief. Literally, you can sit at their back door and see his house in between the houses. All they had to do is sit and watch and wait for him to come home with stolen property. It's not hard. I mean, the whole town's a mile long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing there since Blake and Miranda got divorced. That's not an exaggeration. Miranda packed up her shop, and so downtown's kind of dissipated. I would love to hear if you find anything in those documents.
Yeah, I'll definitely not get rid of anything.
I'm working down in my office.
Sure.
I'll get you my card. Roger, I'm sorry. Do you have any questions?
No.
Or is there anything I missed?
Okay.
Did I miss anything? Because I talked to you a lot longer.
I have to bring you a credit.
We'll talk
about this in my head. Would you tell me your interest down the road for this is?
We're working on a radio series, but.
Yeah.
It's for the station.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the short term?
That's it. There's no short or long term. That's the only plan so far.
Okay.
Yeah. And obviously, we wouldn't be done without us speaking anyway, so it's good
yeah.
to speed it up.
Well, I definitely would like to get one of their. Thank you.
is a production of 88.9 KETR FM in Commerce, Texas, and of KETR.org. Its host and principal reporter is George Hale. Executive producer is Jared Knight, with production help from Emma Anderson. Theme music is composed and performed by Brad Davis, and cover art was designed by Crystal Sid. You can catch up on previous episodes at KETR.org/buried or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.